And so we're going to be continuing here in the book of Revelation. I know Rich did a wonderful job speaking what he had to say in the verses from there. Well, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 20. And the book of Revelation, remember, I'm going to give you a quick introduction here. It's supposed to be a blessing, okay? It's something that's going to happen in the future. Now, let me stop there. In the past, we looked at, and in the present, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Remember, John was in the island of Patmos. He had this vision. The Lord took him up in the Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ told him what to pen down. And of course, you have some pictures there in the Bible, what it will be like. You have some allegories, and you have other things that when you read it and you understand what John's saying, you have to understand something. The man was trying to describe something that's far into the future. So where are we at now? Revelation, okay? Chapter 4 through 20 talks about futuristic. It means it's going to happen in the future, okay? Chapter 14, where we let off last week, we're looking at what is happening with right after mid-trib of the tribulation period, okay? The Antichrist comes to power. The false prophet, which is a false Holy Spirit, the Antichrist is a false Jesus. There are counterfeits. Remember today, like we have the Holy Spirit, he points to Jesus. The problem is, in theological terms in churches today, people put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit, on Jesus, and they point the other way. The Holy Spirit's job in us is to point to Jesus. So remember, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust thereof of the Spirit. Lust of the flesh, excuse me. So you're a little bit after the halfway point in midpoint of the tribulation, excuse me. So John is seeing this revelation, and we looked at last week how we need to be triumphant in Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we go through trials and tribulations, God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. John was looking at the 144,000. Revelation chapter 7, we are introduced to that with 144,000. They are not the 144,000 from the Jehovah Witnesses. They are sealed Jews, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they're male virgins, and they go out and they preach the gospel. It's needed at that time because the world is just going to pieces. And we, like the saying goes, he ain't seen nothing yet. So we see the beginning of their work last week, the 144,000, ends in chapter 14. We see here in verses 1 through 5. That's where we left off. Okay? And the question I had to share with people as I concluded with that is that, are we still standing with the land confident in victory? Do we have the victory in Jesus? I pray that we all do. I want to encourage you, because Satan does not have to have rule over our lives. We have to fight in the Spirit, not by thy power, not by thy might, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6, but by my Spirit. Be led by his Spirit. And I know you've had a rough week. I know you all have had. Is your life marked by his name, reflecting his character and his priorities? So what was the prioritized meaning for the 144,000? Is go to evangelize, to reach the world. And I've titled this message, Angels and Reaping. Six times angels are mentioned here before the bowl judgments. We have what? We had the seal judgments, and then, of course, we have the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl judgments, okay? And they're very important because it's God's judgment. Remember, when God is judging a country, he wants them not to die and go to hell. He wants them to repent. That's what this is all about. is repentance. People need to repent. People need the Lord. He is the open door to our lives here. And then, of course, we've seen here, thirdly, will you commit to following him wherever he leads, no matter what? And, you know, we have a little sign here at the end of the driveway that your mission field begins here. There you go. It's right there. Say, Pastor, I don't know what my mission field is. You know what? I tell people two things. One, read God's word. And two, pray. Read God's word some more and pray. And continue doing that. And God will speak to you. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, what? He gives you what? The desires of your heart. That's what you've been looking for. Our song leader wasn't feeling well. And I texted her because the Lord told me to. You know what? I got all these songs all lined up. This is what happens if you're sick. That was the Lord doing it. And the joy and the peace I had, you know, as the song goes, you know, that none will ever know. You know, joy that we had, that we tarry there, that none other will ever know. So that's the kind of joy in the song that we have in our heart. So with that being said, all right, getting right into Revelation chapter 14. Let me continue here. We're going to be looking at the angelic messengers here throughout verses 6 through 20. Then another angel comes, okay, flying in the midst of heaven. And this is talking about, now remember, you have three heavens in the Bible. You have the third heaven, which is here around the church atmosphere. The second heaven is the universe. The first heaven is in God's throne room. Okay, so you had an angel come down from heaven, another angel. The other, another is Allos in the Greek, which I don't get into all that, but it means another of the same kind. Okay, so it's a good angel from God. Okay, so it says here, another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Isn't that interesting? That word, everlasting, has the idea of an unchanging message. It's, God is immutable. Okay, that means he never changes. You don't want to trust somebody today? Trust the Lord. Okay? Let me tell you, there's a lot of deception out there. There are a lot of lies. People will take you for everything you have, and people won't even blink. They'll look at you and lie to you. Okay? Be on your guard. Put your armor on. Be careful. Walk circumspectly. That means that buy up your time. It's a banker's time. You're putting your time, your treasure in heaven. So you're walking circumspectly right now, redeeming the time. So God is an unchanging God. And John's saying, look, you saw in chapters 12 and 13 the bad guys, okay? And a lot of them are out there. We need to pray for Iran, because what's happening there is these leaders believe in Islam, and literally in the Quran has the idea that we are going to go ahead and fight tooth with their teeth if they have to. But they will fight until they die because they want to please Allah, because they believe in a work salvation. Got it? Okay? So pray for our leadership. And our men over there as well. They're not going to fight until this is over with. Just pray for our leaders. So there's a evil force out there. And the Bible gives it very clearly who we fight against. Not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers. You're wondering why you're getting weird thoughts coming in your mind, or you're tired and you're just being attacked spiritually, or bad things happen to you. Remember, he's on the prowl. He's seeking whom he can devour. Remember, God's in control of everything. And some people say, well, why would God allow that anyway? Doesn't he love me? Yes, he does. But he has trials and tribulations that you will grow closer to him. It's like a mother at home and the kid messes or cuts himself, and he goes running home to mom. Mom, I need help. Our gracious Heavenly Father is like that. Okay, she's there. It says, "Oh, son, our daughter. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me take care of you." Okay, so he's over everything. And then going on here in verse 6, says here that in having an everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue and people. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Do we have the fear of the Lord today? Okay? If we don't have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says the beginning of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want God's wisdom today? Start fearing him, okay? Trusting him. God doesn't want you to run in a corner and cower in the corner and say, oh, I'm afraid of God. No, he wants you to come boldly before his throne of grace. He wants to talk to you today. He wants to walk with you today. He wants to get to know you today. Because, you know, that fellowship is so important. What we lose more than anything else is talking with God and listening to that still, quiet, small voice that speaks to you. And it's very gentle and very persuasive, and it gives you strength and gives you passion, and you care about your God. You know, I told somebody the other day, you know, if I had to wish for a God, there wouldn't be a better God that there is in the Bible. Look at all stories in the Old Testament. Look at all what's happening in your lives today. Each one of us is going through something right now. And you know what? Don't feel alone, because each one of us, you know, you hear that commercial, I love the feeling, or I got the feeling for this. You know, God understands that. So God wants to take you today and be in your life. Let him sit on your throne in your heart today. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Job 28:28. Think you're having a hard time? Read the book of Job sometime. Say, you know what? I got it, Job. You had a lot of bad things happen to you, but you know, when Job started questioning God, God revealed himself. And if you want God to reveal himself to you today, start asking him some questions, some legitimate questions. Why, Lord? Behold, the fear of the Lord that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Hebrews 28:12 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, there is a real hell. And people don't like four-letter words, but I tell you what, hell is one of those real words. And God's saying to us today and those who are online, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to get saved from your sins and believe by faith. I thank God that many years ago when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was taught to preach the same gospel as my pastor preached, okay, but being myself and doing it, and as well as you all know too, it's the same gospel. So going along here with this, and verse 8, so we want to fear God and give him glory, and another angel appears, the second one out of six angels, followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she had made nations drink of the wine of her wrath, of her we'll stop there, of her fornication. So Babylon is mentioned back in Isaiah chapter 47 and in the book of Daniel as well. It was a picture of a proud city, of one that thought nobody could do what I did. King Nebuchadnezzar went ahead and said, look at the kingdom as I built. And as he was talking, God took his mind and turned it into an animal's mind. And it took him years for him to slowly to get back to normal. And when he got things right with God in the book of Daniel, he gave glory to God. I believe King Nebuchadnezzar came to know the Lord. Because how else can somebody give glory to God when he was in the grass, eating the grass out there, a king eating grass like the cattle and horses do, give glory to God? God restored him back in his right mind. Only God can do that. And if you feel like today your mind is slipping, guess what? We all have old timers, right? Eventually you say, the other day, I don't know. Well, you know what I mean. Now I can't even remember what happened the other day, right? Why should I bring that up? You already know. Talk to the wall, preacher, because, you know, I'll pray for you. So there was that. You know, Babylon's picture is a proud, luxurious queen who boasts. We'll get into that later on in the book of Revelation, what exactly. Babylon is pictured as a religious political organization. And people, you know, be careful about what you see on the internet today, what you listen to. Babylon was an empire of immense wealth, power, and influence among and with arrogance and cruelty. But then you had the Medes and Persians come up and overtake them. Remember Belshazzar made his boast to his gods, taking God's cups and his utensils out of the temple. And remember in Jeremiah's time, you know, God had to deal with Israel because they started worshiping other gods as well, and they actually had idols in the temple. And Jeremiah's dad was a priest of all things. It's kind of interesting that you watch and you talk to people around here all the time, wherever you go, you know this, that they came from religious homes. And what happens, it starts with the pulpit, it starts with the watering down the preaching of God. And after a while, the churches, they'll grow because you don't want to offend anybody and get more people in. Yeah, I call them wolves in sheep's clothing, okay? And what we need to do is get back to the basics. And thank God this church is founded upon that. But it's also pictured here as Babylon as like a prostitute who lures humanity into perverse relationships and turns hearts away from God with idolatry, pleasure, and power. So it's pictured that as well. But primarily, the church is brought into the world, or has brought the world into the churches today. And we'll get to that in a minute here. So God warns us here. Jesus warned also that that we need to be careful of bringing things into our lives we need not to have. John had mentioned this also in 1 John 2:15, 16. Do not love the world, the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, love the Father is not him. And then he gives a definition for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And James 4:4, I will add on to this, writes here that friendship with the world is enmity with God. That means at war with God. So try not to bring the world into your life, okay? In other words, it's talking about the world system. It's not talking about a geographical world. Very thankful for what we have. We have such a pretty place. Our homes, our places to go to, our people that God's made in his image. But it's talking about the rudiments of this world coming into your life, taking you away from God. So Romans 12:2, let me encourage you. It says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that which is good and acceptable to the Lord. You're in the world, but you don't have to be part of the world, okay? You're all sojourners today. You know that, right? You're pilgrims. And one day we won't be here. And whatever we have will count in heaven where our treasure is. Amen? That's right. So the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever we shall sow, we shall also reap. So we are reaping as it is here in our lives even as of today. Babylon is also known about her fornication. It says here, verse 8. One professor said this. He said, a short version of Christianity. Christianity started in Israel during Pentecost, right? That's when the church started. All right. Then it moved to Greece, and as the church grew, you started getting philosophers coming in there. Pray for our Christian colleges and universities. Please pray for them. Because there's getting, not only are you getting the woke theology get in there, but there's evolution. Quote unquote, Christian professors with PhDs, okay? They're teaching evolution. A lot of them are. There are not many left that you can find that are have a pure, unadulterated word of God anymore. There's a lot of evolution. Oh, the creation theory, they call it a theory. I believe it's the Word of God. When you take Genesis out, you have nothing, right? But you have to have Genesis in there in the beginning, right? So the students that are coming out, we're wondering why our churches are getting watered down today, because the Word of God is not being proclaimed properly. You're getting a lot of young pastors, even older pastors are succumbing to this. The apostasy means walking away from the truth of God. It's going to be prevalent before Jesus Christ comes back again. Amen? He's coming back. I want to encourage you. These tables are troublesome. Like that song goes, troublesome times are here, filling God's heart with fears. I got to get back to preaching here. So it goes on from philosophy, came from there, and Italy became an institution. You had Roman Catholicism. So you have Pentecost, and you have the philosophers came in. Then you had the institution called the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm sorry, but I don't give any apologies. You know, I don't want to step on people's feet. I don't do that. But I believe that Roman Catholicism is a cult, okay? Now, but when I witness to somebody who's a Roman Catholic, I love them, I care about them, and I point them to Jesus. I don't criticize their churches. I don't pick them apart. But that's the dogma is there. They don't like me. We get along fine, but I'm not going to change them, and they're not going to change me. I've talked to priests. I've talked to and if anybody here has a Roman Catholic background, look, I'm not trying to criticize you. I wouldn't dare do that. And sometimes people have told me, I've been in a church and this is the way it's been. And I can't get this teaching out of my head. But you know what? That's normal. That's normal. So we came from this, from the Roman Catholic institution to Europe. It became a culture. Look at Europe today. Pray for Europe today, because it's becoming more Islamic. they're trying to change things in this world today, very subtly. Then when it came to America, it became a business. This is my point here about Babylon, okay? It's supposed to be a church, the body of Christ, right? The Puritans came over for England, right? You know all this. And there was the Awakening back in the 1700s. And then what happened was liberalism came in and so on and so forth. And I don't have time to get into all that. I preached about that before. And now we have a prostitute. And a prostitute here, I don't care if it's male or female, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when a body becomes a business, it becomes a prostitute. And people have the idea today they can wear all the different kinds of outfits, look nice on the outside, okay? And by the way, you all look very nice today, okay? And God does not judge you by your outside. He loves you. He wants to take good care of you, and you do that. But he looks at the heart, okay? Every once in a while, this pastor here has to look himself in the mirror and say, Lord, sometimes I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, Dwight L. Moody said that's a normal thing. It's because we're sinners saved by the grace of God, right? Even Billy Graham said that too, that he had to check his salvation out every once in a while. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. We have a progressive salvation. Once we're saved, then we are moving off in there by faith. And we sing all the right songs, quote all the right verses. We have the contractual relationship, right? We have it on contract. Oh, I'm a church member, whatever. Nothing wrong with it being a church member. If you're not, that's okay too. But there's that contractual relationship, and then there's but it's not a covenantal one. My covenant with Jesus, the New Testament, that's God's covenant, amen? And that out of that, I understand who God is through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is the Old Covenant, right? I understand that because Christ was mentioned even back then, okay? And so it was prophesied to come. And so we have some that are trying to be controlled by the right behavior and follow the rules. Dictates what they want. But one thing they miss, listen to me now, and this is the Babylonian religious side, political one is a different one all itself. I'm not going to get into that. Do we have the working of the Spirit working in us? Do we have God working in us? There are days when I'm doing things and God's saying, okay, I want you to do this. Who is that anyway? That's the Holy Spirit working in us, right? I don't understand this, Lord. The song goes, have thine own way, Lord, right? Have thine own way. And lead me and teach me. And you know what? I'm reading God's word and I'm like, wow, this is what it means. Years ago, I forget how many years have been saved now, but I could open up the Bible and it wouldn't make any sense to me. I'd read it as just like a storybook. Okay, I learned that in Sunday school when I was a kid. Now I'm looking at it and a mature man, I'm like, wow, this totally makes sense. I'm saying this because we need to hear it, and that somebody might be online that needs to hear this too. You don't have to get saved again. There's a term in theological terms, it's the second work of grace, and they teach that you have to get saved again. That's contrary to the Word of God. Don't believe it. It's a lie. So let me move on here about the Babylonian approach here in verse 8. And it says here that, with Babylon heard fornication, verse 9, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, says here, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on the forehead or his right hand. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to get into all that. At that time, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, and which is poured out in full strength into his cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. In other words, this is a picture of God's wrath. Psalms 75:8 says this, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. It's a picture of a cup here. And remember, Christ had to drink from that cup in in the garden. He prayed in the garden alone, remember? He was all alone. Probably today, maybe this week, past couple of weeks, we've been all alone in that garden with Jesus, haven't we? Been alone with him. And the picture was here, as Jesus said, if it was possible, Father, please let this cup depart from me. He's talking about God's wrath for you and I alone. Isn't that wonderful? It says, and the wine is red and fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely the dregs shall be wicked of the earth, drain and drink it down. There is a judgment for this world that is going to happen. Either people accept Christ now or before it's too late. You know, as the old preacher used to say, accept Christ now because you never know. You may go out down that road and have a car accident. Boom. You know, you're home either in heaven or you're in hell. Okay? Life can flip on a quarter. You all know what I mean. Just flip a coin. You don't know if you're going to get heads or tails. I pray today you get a head with Jesus Christ. You don't get the tail in hell. Jeremiah 25:15-17 says, Lord God of Israel says to me, take this cup of wine, wrath from my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send you to drink it. God's judgment on this world, Jeremiah was prophesizing this thousands of years ago, because he had what? The Spirit of God upon him. And I really like to see the Spirit of God upon us every day. I pray about that. I know we get in the way. Sometimes we don't even realize that God's even there, but he's there. So, moving right along here, verse 11, it says, they'll be tormented in fire and brimstone, and in the smoke of the torment ascends forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night. Whoever worships the beast in the image receives the mark of his name. So the Bible says about hell, and I'll say this much here, it's known as outer darkness in Matthew chapter 8. That means it's going to be a very, very dark place. There's going to be no more sunlight, no more pretty trees. You'll be in a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People are going to be upset, and there'll be a lot of crying. Gnashing of teeth has the idea of pain. There'll be a lot of pain, okay, in hell. And say, why would God allow that to happen? Because people don't want the Creator. They don't want Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. They don't want God. talk to people, some people out here, oh, yeah, right, okay, whatever, have a good day. They don't want to hear it. They want to live to hear now. Oh, yeah, beautiful weather. I want to go swimming. I want to go boating. Nothing wrong with that. But when you put your pleasures before God, something's wrong, right? You don't want to come to church, something's wrong. A lot of people are hurt out there because they've been hurt by churches. I tried to tell them, I said, come on, we'll welcome you. We're not here. I'm not here to judge anybody here. I'm here to love you. That's your business between you and God. You know, that's where I draw a line. Very careful. I have no right judging anybody here. That's between us and the Lord. And that includes me too. Eternal fire is a place where fire is not quenched. It's a fiery furnace. Brimstone, fire and brimstone has the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah. Archaeologists have gone there. They have actually taken a fire and brimstone they have found, and they can still light a match to it or a lighter, and it still burns. Sodom and Gomorrah still, to this day, really happened. Okay? But you have the people out there who want to deny. They'll deny anything as long as they put themselves first. Place where the worm does not die has the idea of the conscience. You live with your conscience every day, right? And you've all, some of you have been through so many fires. I'm talking about trials and tribulations. God bless you. God keep you. And God give you peace. Matthew 25:46, these who go away into eternal punishment, Jesus says, but the righteous to eternal life. Hell does not stop. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And, you know, so what these cults will all tell you, for the most part, oh, hell's just for a little place, and it's just for a short time. No, it's for eternity. Why do I say that? From the authority of the Word of God, because it comes from the Bible. And then, of course, last but not least, 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, and these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory and power. People don't want God? Fine. God's saying, you know what? My spirit, my conviction working on you, eventually it's going to lessen and lessen. And that's what apostasy does. They know the truth. It will set them free and they walk away. They back off and they like to be in their own cage, in their own mind. And they're tormented. They're vexed. V-E-X. Like a few other characters there in the Bible. So, okay, so we need that verse 12. Thank God. We can see here Babylon, the whole world system. Let me wrap this up. For those who reject God, they will be punished. But verse 12 that says, here's the patience. And this is for us all here today. I'm leaving the good stuff for last, right? Here's the patience. Saints, here are those who keep the commandments of God, their faith in Jesus. Some people try to live a good life to get by. Others try to worship and pray to Mary and the saints. Some like to go to the Kingdom Hall. Others like to listen to Joseph Smith, the Mormon's teaching. Or Ellen White, his Seventh-day Adventist, which that's a hellish doctrine in itself. They don't believe in a hell. There's a lot of other things. They don't believe in the atonement of Christ. And then some people like to pray to Allah. Pray for King Charles. Guess what? He's converted to Muslim. Guess what? You have the Anglican Church, where I used to come from as I grew up there. Guess what? They have a pro-lesbian LBG, XYZ, JK, whatever they call it, you know. She's sitting there on the throne there in the Church of England. Boy, how times have changed in such a little time. Jesus is coming back. In Tibet, you can go to guides to find hidden wisdom. And the list goes on. I don't have time to get into all this, but some jump into witchcraft. There's a place down the road here that teaches about tarot cards. It's, you know, I won't get into that. You know, don't make any friends with little spirits. They lie to you. Don't get sucked into that. Remember, the devil is all about lies. Make things sound good. Make things look good to you. He's an angel of light, and his ministers, his angels, are what? Ministers of light. So usually if something is too good, it's too good to be true. Right? You got that right. Don't make any decisions when you're tired. You're thinking about doing something, don't make a word of wisdom. Get some rest and think about it and pray about it. Okay, verse Excuse me. So we have our faith in Jesus. Verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write this, John, blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. So we pray that we can rest from our labors. And we look back. Can you rest in your labor today? Can you just say, Lord, I've given it everything I have. And some days I feel like a complete failure because I feel like I'm really not getting anything done. Well, you know what? That's normal too. Because we're getting old. We're getting fragile. We're you know, some saints are sickly in a sense where they're just sick a lot. You know, and it's not they're sinning, okay? It's just their bodies are given away. But you know what? Let me encourage you. You're an encouragement to being with me today, amen? And to one another. Because you're keeping the faith. And even the ones that are aligned, the ones that are not here, they have such a strong faith, okay? We think about what we've done in the past. We give thanks for that. And, you know, it says here that we may rest from their labors, and the works follow them. So you know you've done everything you can. Rest in the Lord today. Give thanks to Him. Because one day, you know, everything that we did will be revealed to us. One day, everything will be exposed. And we have nothing to fear. As the saying goes, I'm going to say fear itself. But we have nothing to fear. Fear itself is just a word, okay? It's another four-letter word, okay? I'd rather have the fear of the Lord any day. So when I look and behold a white cloud, I've got to finish this up here as the Lord leads. So John looks up, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, and that's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He is pictured here, and the one who's having on his head was a golden crown. A golden crown is the idea of one who's been victorious over wars and has run the race in life. And he has the Stephanos crown. You have another crown, which is a diadem crown, which kings wear. So this is the same here. And it says, a golden crown in his hand was a sharp sickle known as judgment. Looking at sowing and reaping. I pray that we're reaping well unto the Lord. Another angel comes out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap. And the time has come for you to reap. And the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who sat on the crown thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So it's time. You know, it's like some of you with farming backgrounds, and you realize that, you know, it's time for harvest. It has the idea of, if you ever looked at a grape, when it dries, it turns into a raisin, doesn't it? It starts to shrivel up. It's time to pick it because it's good for harvest. Same picture is given here because of sin. God's saying, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to reap time this time. I'm going to separate the wheat from the tares. In Matthew, I don't have the time, but there's a parable that was saying, you had a sower in the field, and you had Satan comes along, and he plants bad seed in the field. And you had seed that fell on good soil. You know that about the sower and the seed. And it was good soil, and it took root. But as it goes to show you, in this world, you will have the tares along with the wheat. And God will come along one day and he'll reap all this and separate the goats from the sheep. Okay, in other words, the tares from the wheat. Okay, and farmers have told me this back in Kansas when it was harvest time. Remember this? They said it's really hard to tell one from another, from a tare from the wheat. Very difficult. That's why when they go with their combines, they can tell. They go out ahead. And they have people who search, look, make sure everything looks right. Today, the fields are white unto harvest. Okay, they're there. You say, Lord, how do I do this? Well, pray. Ask God for wisdom there. And the Lord's telling me I have a few minutes left, so I want to catch you in the spirit. I don't want to rush things through. So there's going to be a harvest. Verse 17, then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, having a sharp sickle. Okay? And another came out from the altar who had the power over fire. And that's referring back down to Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And has the idea of God's, the tribulation saints. Now keep in mind, who studied this, has the idea back in Revelation chapter 6, they were praying because they were martyred for their faith. Okay, and they were praying, God, please, how long? How long are you going to wait to get revenge? And that word revenge from the Lord has the idea of justice, God's justice. God is not going to shoot a lightning bolt down from heaven and zap the bad guy out there, because he needs Christ too. By the grace of God, so are we, right? So this is the justice of God here. We don't have time to get into Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. But it was time for the reaping of that well. Let me continue on as we conclude here. It says, and he cried with loud voice, and who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust your sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, and grapes are fully ripe. That's talking about judgment time when Christ comes back. This is a small scenario of John giving us a picture of what's going to happen at the end times toward the end of the book of Revelation. We're not there yet. He's just giving us a scenario. And so the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Okay? And the winepress was trampled outside the city, which is Jerusalem. Okay? And blood came out of the winepress and the horse's bridles for 1,600 and 100 furloughs. And when you look at, we would have to look at, let me just break this down here, here at the end times, Megiddo, that's a place that's located 60 miles north of Jerusalem. There's a valley there, and historians, war historians, have said there's been more battles fought in that place more than anything else because of the geographic setup there. So, the idea of it being, well, let me put it to you this way, simply. In your body, you have 5 liters and 5 quarts of blood in your body, okay? It's going to come to the time when there's, it's not going to even be a billion people left. Remember, you're going to have a war. People are converged. The Antichrist is going to make war with Christ, simply. We'll get into this more in detail. But you're going to have the armies from the east are going to come. The Russia has already been taken out because of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And that's going to happen either right at the rapture, a little bit before, a little bit after. Some believe expositor is going to happen mid-trib. Nobody really knows. Charles Ryrie, other great expositors say, we don't really know. Okay? But that's going to be taken out. What's going to happen to the United States? Well, I think it's going to pretty much be clumped into this 10... nation confederacy. In other words, it's going to happen. It's not 10 countries in Europe like it's Al Lindsey used to say back in the 70s. Remember him, late great planet Earth. I believe it's going to be geographically, it's going to be broken up into 10 kingdoms here on Earth. Okay? Because you're talking about the whole world. You're not just talking about Europe. Okay? The Antichrist is going to rule and reign. Things, the judgments come real quickly. Christ is coming back. Satan's biggest goal right now is to take out the United States. Is it communism or Islam? It's working. It's happening right now as we're talking. Please pray for our leaders to wake up and stop this foolishness that they're doing. Our country is bought with blood from people fighting for this country. By golly, we're going to stick to it. But then you have these people, they're going to converge. The United States is going to be taken out, and they're going to converge on Israel and take out Israel, because Satan's one objective is to obliterate Israel because he wants to mock God, accuse God. He's a great accuser. I told you it never happened. See? God, you're not who you are. That's all he wants, because he wants to be God. So at the end of tribulation here, there will be such a slaughter that some people say that whole Valley Megiddo will come up to the horse's bridle. It'll be so much blood. And, of course, Christ will have to come back. I'm going to end with this because I know some of you have to leave soon. Why does God allow this to happen? Because he's going to usher in the kingdom. And we'll talk about that later. And why does this allow this to happen? Because if mankind had his way, he'd end up killing himself. Everybody. Because he's so selfish, he wants everything for himself. He'll end up killing everybody wiped out in the meantime. So remember, sowing and reaping. Keep that in mind here. I'll continue with that with next week because I can't get everything in time here. But go home when you have time. Read John 4:35-38. Jesus says the fields are white unto harvest. Okay? It's time for you to look. Go out here. Look at the little sign out here. I'm going to close with this. It's been bent. It has been rusted. It has been twisted. It has been turned. What does it say on that little sign out there by the driveway? You have entered your mission field. The gathering has started. The fields are white unto harvest. If you haven't led anybody to Christ, don't feel bad about it because I'll say this and I'm done, I promise. Satan tries to lie to you. He doesn't want you to know that your prayers, there's those who plant the seed, there's those who reap. We're all in it together, okay? Don't kid yourself. Don't let him discourage you today. See, I tried to lead people to Christ, Pastor, and I'm having such a hard time. You are just as important. Don't you ever forget that. Don't let Satan take away the glory from God or your joy because he hates that. He hates God and he hates you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, there's so much I want to say, but you told me to keep my mouth shut and get to the important things. Lord, there's so much about sowing and reaping. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he shall also reap. We thank you, Lord, that we can reap good things in our lives. We look at the fruit that we have reaped in our lives, and we give you thanks. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And my friend, if you're online, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Savior, he's coming again. We just pray, Lord God, that it won't be too late. Because you might be having a good time, but the days are so short, there's so few. And what's behind you is behind you. We pray that you accept Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.